message is going to be on hope and hope in different areas. So, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would just use the words that I'm going to be presenting to bring honor and glory to your name, but also to speak whatever it is that you want me to speak. This message that I'm giving is not a message I am planning to give. But it is, for some reason, I feel as though you're leading me to speak on this subject. And as inadequate as I feel, Heavenly Father, I didn't even feel like being here to talk about this. But we have hope in Christ. May this message be a message of hope to our church, to those that we minister to outside of the church, the people we're going to be seeing at the end of the month that are coming maybe from the mission, from the Schenectady mission and from the mission at in Albany, and possibly some of the people that might come from the summit. We just pray that you would just use the words that are being spoken and the scripture that's going to be opened up to minister to ourselves and to others. In Christ's name we pray. So, hope is what I'm going to be talking about in a sense. I'm not sure what the title of this should be. You saw in this video a gentleman by the name of Mike. And Mike suffers from a bipolar type of condition. And how often people who have mental disorders, let's say, they suffer. And one of the first places a person goes to when they need help is often the church. And so often, even with mental conditions, you could say, well, mental illnesses, and there's different mental illnesses, they come to the church. They come to a church to not to get fixed. And that's often what we try to do is, I know I do, sometimes Susan will come to me and she wants to just speak to me, just wants to share what she has to say, and I'll try to fix it, and that's not the thing to do. Sometimes it's just to listen, just to be a friend and to support a person. It was a strange, I was supposed to be speaking on Philippians 1, possibly Philippians 2, and here I am speaking about not only mental illness, but also I was looking at a book that has to do with sickness, and the sickness of the church, and it's called, and this book came to me, and it's called An Autopsy of a Deceased Church. And it says, 12 Ways to Keep Yours Alive. And I was reading that, and I was saying to myself, oh gosh, this is a tough topic. But it's something that I read, and I started to read about that. It was like, I don't even know how this fits into the message, but when I read that book, after I read various parts of why a church dies, and one of the things is that we, as a church, often will become very, very, there's a slow erosion of the church. I've been living in the past with the church. It's a church that omits the Great Commission. Things like that. Now, I'm not saying that that's what's happened in this church. But and then it also talks about how churches often don't have a clear purpose. When I was reading that, I was saying, oh, gosh, we're so few in numbers. But are we still a church? Yes, we are still a church. And is there hope for our church to grow again? Yeah, there is. There is hope for the church. And one of the things that he talks about is how we need to pray and how we need to respond and how we have to pray for us as a church to open our eyes to see where we have gotten out of balance. A lot of times there's an inward focus. There's a focus on the on the church building itself, and there's a focus on other things, but we have to have a balance of focusing on the church, yes, and then focusing on the people within the congregation, yes, but also on outward focus, looking at those around us that are unsaved and those that need to hear the gospel message. Well, this month we have two opportunities to focus on people that are outside the church. And some of these people are going to be people that are on, how can I say it nicely? That's the right way to say it. Some of these people might not have all their faculties, maybe. They might be, some of the people that might be coming to the church for the Stepping Up program. I was reading some of the statistics there in terms of people that would be coming from outside of the church. So there's like a 25% chance that people that are living in homeless shelters have a mental illness. So I was just reading some of the statistical information about mental illness, and half of adults will suffer from mental illnesses sometime in their life. We're going to be going to the Eddie, and in the Eddie there's going to be a lot of older people, and some of those persons might be suffering from some mental illnesses. It says half of all chronic mental illnesses begin by age 14. We may have people that will know they have mental illnesses, so that we need to have to minister to them. 1 in 5 children will have a mental illness by the age of 18. I mean, how many times do we have kids, grandkids, friends, people that we know of, kids that are suffering from anxiety and all kinds of things these days? Well, look at the news and you can kind of hear about how men and all these different places that are, it's war and rumors of wars, and they're all wars, and we can't help but live with them. It can be pretty scary especially for kids, seeing what's going on these days. 90% of people who die from suicide have a mental illness, it said. 1/3 of alcohol abusers and 1/2 of all people that are drug abusers have battle with mental illness. So we see that there's a lot going on. 25%, I said that. 22% of veterans each day, 22 veterans each day commit suicide. I had a cousin who went to Vietnam and came back and he killed himself. And you kind of scratch your head, why? You know? And so today, 22 veterans will kill themselves. We live in a broken world. And then when a survey was done with clergy, how do they deal with mental illness? How do they feel equipped to work with people and to minister to people with mental illnesses? 71% of those clergy people that were surveyed said they feel ill-equipped, they don't feel like they can really minister to people with mental illnesses. So anyway, so what's the role of the church? Oh, wow. What's the role of our church, as small as we are? Well, I can tell you that we are doing some good things in this church. And I'll use it across, what is it, acrostic? The word church to kind of help us with that. But when we look at the church in terms of history, we know that the church, over time, is probably the first group of people that set up hospitals. I worked at the Methodist Hospital, which is part of the Presbyterian Hospital. Those hospitals were started by people who were believers. St. Peter's Hospital, again, affiliated with Sisters of Mercy. So there's, again, if you go to other countries, hospitals were started by churches. And why is that? Because, and by believers, I should say. By believers, right? Because they were caring for the whole person. We as a church, we need to minister to the whole person.
How can we do that if we're in such small numbers? Well, I think that sometimes on an individual basis, we definitely can minister to the whole person. The biblical mandate is to care for the whole person, physically, for their, also to walk alongside persons with mental illness, I'm talking about, but also with their families, because these people are often isolated. They become isolated. There's three scriptures I want to look at. First one is John 15:15. So it's just two and a half scriptures. Focus on half of one of the verses, but John 15:15 says, "I have called you friends, for everything I have learned, my Father and I have made known to you." I have called you friends. We go to that scripture, John, and that. The relationship of believers to believers, we should be called friends. Friends of God. We're not just servants, we're not just, we're blessed, but we're being called by the God of the universe to be called friends. That's something very special. And we're also to call others to be friends. So like Jesus, like it talks about, we're to be imitators of God. Jesus was God, and he was calling his disciples friends. We're to call others friends. Also, when you think about him, God called us friends. He called us friends when we were enemies to him. When we were thumbing our nose to God, and we were walking against everything he was about. Here he was calling us to be part of his family, and we were in some cases kicking and screaming to go the opposite direction until finally we gave in to his call. He loves us so much that he calls us friends. And in Romans 13, I'm sorry, Romans 15, 13, this is where I get the portion about hope. It says in that chapter, it talks about bearing one another's burdens. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may abound, you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." See, it's God's Holy Spirit that gives us the power to have that joy and peace, and to be able to trust in him, and to be able to serve others and one another in love. In Galatians 5:13, the second half of that verse, it talks about serving one another in love. Well, we need to not only serve one another in love, but we also have to serve others outside of the actual our church family here in love. I think that when we have the hymn sing, people that we go to, the people that we'll come encounter with, that we'll come in contact with, at the end, we should serve with love. And sometimes that means just a smile, just a hello. Serve one another. Naturally, we serve Santa. Santa, this is coming here. He has told us, and she would love to see people. She enjoys our visitations when we go. And one of the things we can be is a friend to, not only to her, but to the people that we come encounter with at the end. So we should serve one another in love. So over the past 2,000 years, hospitals were invented by Christian missions. The church has ministered, like I said, to the whole person. It's a biblical mandate to care for the whole person, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. A good way of looking at ministry to people is the word church. When we look at that, the first step to ministering to people is the letter C, which stands for care and compassion. A lot of times if we have people that are coming in from the mission, it's easy to kind of say, they're there because of their own choice, their bad decisions. But in some cases, it's not that case. And sometimes it's their genetic. They were born with certain genetic predispositions to fall into certain habits, bad habits, alcohol, drugs, or maybe genetically they have a mental illness that they have. They're in that predicament because it's something that's not their fault. It's just that their history has basically made it such that they ended up where they ended up. We should have care and compassion for people. We often exclude people from the body of Christ because we make judgments. Often friendships, for example, are based on two things. Often we have something in common with the person that we're a friend with. So it's easy to kind of fall into a friendship with a person that you have something in common with. And sometimes the friendship is because that person is a likable person. It's easy to like them, so you kind of get along with the person. But God called us friends, going back to John 15:15, even though we were going against him, even though we were enemies to him. God loves the unlovable. Are we loving the unlovable? I know when I look at myself, this message might be just for me. Sometimes when I look at others, it's easy for me to say, I'm not sure if I'm too crazy about that person. I'm not sure if I really connect with that person, so I'm going to kind of shy away from that person. It's easy to go to a men's Bible study where guys kind of have that common God in Christ, and everybody's getting along. And sometimes there's times when there's people that are maybe not the person that we would want to be a friend with, and yet God calls us to be a friend to that person. Especially when we think about mental illness, it's easy to sometimes not know what to do. Sometimes it's God's call is just to be a friend to that person. Just to be a friend. The first letter is C, compassion and care. One of the things that I think we're doing right is, and then this second letter is H. Something that we're doing as church right is we try to help with basic needs. One of the things that we do have is we have outings cards, for example, for people who are struggling. And they've given out. I know that when I spoke to Dave from the summit, one of the persons that received the outings cards was in tears because she received that card during a very difficult time near Christmas, providing for people. I'm not saying that person had a mental illness, right? We have at least something in place where we can actually help in those areas. You know, it's often you have a person who has a physical illness, a broken leg, or has surgery, and they go home, and the church, we do very good with, you know, rallying around that person. We get meals for the person, we bring it to their home. But a lot of times when it comes to a mental illness, it's a little bit different. It's not so easy. I mean, there's a percentage, I heard, like 99.999%, something like that. People who have a mental illness don't get those types of things. They don't get, after a diagnosis of bipolar or schizophrenia, people won't go out of their way and get them a meal and bring it to them and things like that. And sometimes those people really need that support. So it's something that is definitely needed. So that's something that's helping basic needs. And I think that we all, sometimes some of that help can be just even the verbal support that they get, a word of encouragement, that's helping. Sometimes people just need a word of encouragement. The U in church says utilize volunteers. How many people do we have here? It's hard to utilize volunteers, but when you have very few numbers, but sometimes volunteering for things that sometimes we don't feel we're equipped to volunteer for, when those opportunities have come about, trying to be available where God is working to help, again, to minister to others, to bring honor and glory to His name. The R in church is that we should try to remove the stigma surrounding mental illness. If you have diabetes, you have to take medication for that. Or if you have high blood pressure, you have to take medication for that. Well, sometimes people have mental conditions that require medication, or that require counseling, that require help. We have to try to remove the stigma of mental illness from our church and from our lives, and be friends of persons with all kinds of mental illnesses. They are loved by God just as much as anyone else. It's very hard for a person who has a mental illness to love someone else. They're a lot of times dealing with not being able to function, so they require additional medical attention, and their families require more time to care for the person. So a lot of times, it's easy to avoid persons with mental illnesses because it's very uncomfortable relationship to have. But we should always pray to God, see where it is that God is leading us to go to help others in these areas. Something that can be also done within the churches. The second C in church is to try to collaborate with the community. And that's something that we don't have. That's something that in the future it would be nice to have. We did that with the food pantry, the card. We went ahead and got a list of all the different food pantries in the areas that we can give to a person as well as the card, so that they will know where the food pantries are and what their operational times are. We can do something like that when it comes to mental illness, because a lot of times if we were to receive a call, or if we wanted to have information about helping a person, if we have a list of community services that are available to persons who struggle with mental illness, that would be nice. Something that I'd like to try to see if I can put together. It's something that is probably needed in a church, because one of the first places a person goes to when they're suffering mental illness is the church. And then the last thing, the age in church, the last ages, you need to offer hope to persons who are struggling with mental illness. Like we saw in the video with Mike. Mike has bipolar, and he was saying that one day he would not be suffering with this mental illness when he goes to the war. But in his case, he found a church that provided support for him. And he's able to minister to people. Even though he suffers with depression, he can still be joyful and looking forward to the future of being with the Lord and not having this mental illness. We need to support people who have mental illness. Like I said, some of the statistics, definitely. I might be down the road one of those people, and like half of all adults who are suffering from mental illness, half. So half of the people here will suffer with some kind of mental illness, statistically. I'm not saying that's the case. So anyway, so keep those verses in mind. If this is not the Bible hour that I had planned, and I actually felt that the Lord was saying, really trying to bring this up, because this is a topic for our church. We have some events coming up, and we're going to be ministering to people outside the church. We need to show the care and compassion, and we need to offer hope in Christ. May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in him. And part of that trusting in him is trusting in him to minister to people that we don't know how to minister to, so that you may abound and overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit empower us to provide hope to those around us. As we live our lives, as we minister to friends and families, people that might be struggling with anxiety or depression or some kind of mental illness that we just don't feel comfortable with. Let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it's easy to talk about ministry, and it's another thing to actually minister to others. Thank you for those that are here that are ministering to people that need to be ministered to. We pray that you open up opportunities on an individual basis and on a church basis to minister to others. We pray for this church, open our eyes as a church to what we can do to keep this church alive and to minister to those that you put before us. Thank you for the many, many blessings of your love and for your patience. Thank you for being all of us friends. Help us to be a friend to others. And help us to serve one another in love. In Christ's name.